The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Hallelujah. Again and again, the Lord meets you right where you are. Amen. Well, let's meet him in the Word a little bit. 2024, I'll preach it sore. Hallelujah. Now listen, sore is spelled two different ways. I didn't know I was going to say that. I'm going to preach you sore. I got my word for 2024. 2024, I'm going to preach you sore. S-O-A-R. Or S-O-R-E, depending on how you respond. Hallelujah. 2024, it's our year to soar. Amen. Let's open our Bible to John chapter 5. We'll see where the Lord takes us. John chapter 5. He's always so good. Let's pick it up in verse 1 after we invite the Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear. Amen. Let's do that. Pray. Heavenly Father, I invite your Holy Spirit right now. Give us ears, physical ears, Lord, to hear, but spiritual ears, more importantly, to hear. And we ask, Father, if there's anything right now trying to hinder anyone's spirit from receiving what you have, we bind that influence in the mighty name of Jesus and cast down every imagination and high thing by the authority of Almighty God. And all the people said, amen. Amen. John chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. And now there was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which surrounded by five covered colonnades. There were a great number of disabled people used to lie there, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who had been there and an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. Well, now, how many of you have partaken of the blessing that is the chosen? You know, I love the way they do it, and one of my favorite things is the episode where Jesus does come to this pool to heal this man, and they portray this so beautifully. And I want to encourage you to go watch that sometime soon. This man had been laying there 38 years. That's a long, long time to be laying there, and I can only imagine how hopeless he had become. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him this question, do you want to get well? That is the question. Simple as that. My answer would be, absolutely. Why do you think I'm here? Watch where he goes. He doesn't answer, yes, I'd like to get well. He doesn't say, no, I would not like to get well. There are people who don't want to get well because they love the sympathy that their situation brings and they can collect money for it. So they're pretty happy staying that way. And guess what? This whole place is full of people and Jesus is only going to heal one of them. Apparently, the rest of them either weren't ready to receive their healing or just didn't want it. You see, why Jesus go into a place where there's a whole bunch of people with need and only meet one of them's need? Because the Father told him to do it that way by the Holy Spirit. That's why. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, you're not God. You don't have to understand everything. He might have been the only true believer in God who was there. He may have been a man who, when he was younger, had all the faith in the world, but this situation had just knocked the life out of him. And here he is in his misery. He's a misplaced believer. Do you want to get well? Jesus asked him. Verse 7, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me get in the pool when the water's stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. He's been laying there how long? 38 years, man. This man is desperate. But he's desperate to get something that he wants one way. And it's not God's way. Let me tell you something about God. He loves you so much, he will not always let you have it your way. Even if it's a good thing. Because he wants you to know that it's him who brings it into your life. People who don't know the Bible say silly things sometimes. Like, you know, the good book says God helps those that help themselves. That's how they usually say it too, just like that. I don't know what good book they're reading, but it ain't the Bible. Because the Bible actually never says that. The Bible never says God helps those who help themselves. But it says things like this. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. And the number one thing that we all have to overcome in life, in all honesty, is trusting in ourselves and other people and things that are not God. Government's not God. Thank you, Jesus, for that one. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. And he's the one we put our trust in. So this man, all he can see, he's so narrow-minded, he can't see nothing but if I could just get to the pool before anybody else got to the pool, that would work. He said, I don't have anyone to help me. Look at what Jesus said to a man who hasn't taken a step in 38 years. Look what he said to him. Jesus said, get up, exclamation point. Pick up your mat and walk. He was releasing the power of the Holy Spirit through words. And the thing that was keeping this man in that position, the thing that was keeping him an invalid for 38 years was not the fact that he couldn't get to the pool. It was the fact that he couldn't get his eyes off of his own inability. His inability was so big that he could not see God's ability any longer. The only disability this man had was that he was no longer looking to God. You see, but he couldn't walk. That's temporary. Even if you never walk a day on this earth and you never received your physical healing on this earth and you were lame and you didn't receive, you're going to walk in heaven. So that condition's temporary. But we've got to be a people who, regardless of conditions, keep our eyes on him who is the promise. Amen. He's lost that. He's lost hope. He's lost sight of God's ability. Jesus looks at a lame man and tells him, first thing he tells him, get up. How many know that that man is going to have to agree with that? He did not say to the lame man, call for people to pick you up. He said, you choose to get up on your own two feet. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but am I right? Jesus told him, you get up. You get up. Other people aren't going to fix it for you. Not even your pastor. Maybe especially not your pastor. You have to get up. It's your faith that matters. I pray for you all, but it's your faith that's going to make a difference in your life, not mine. If you find yourself in some debilitating situation, get up. Stand on your own two feet and roar like a lion. Roar like the lion that you are if you're a born-again child of God. The kitten is the devil. He's a toothless kitten at that. But boy, he knows how to fake people out, to deceive. And if he can steal your roar, he can steal your sore. Amen. I mean, no, the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. That ain't my notes. I'm listening. I'm going to guard my roar. When trouble comes, I think I'll just roar some more. Give it an extra roar. Come on. That's what you do. Everybody say do. You know what season it is? If any of you say flu season, I'm going to slap you personally. I can repent later. And you have to love me to get to heaven. It's not flu season. You know what a season it is? It's due season. D-U-E, yes, it is due season. It's time to receive. But it's also D-O season, time to do. If you want what's due, you need to do. I'm not even going on further down that road. Glory to God. That was funnier to me than it was to you. That's all right. I'm used to that. Jesus told that guy who could not walk, I'm going to say it in the best way I can. You need to take the initiative for yourself and quit playing your victim card and get up on your own two feet. And then pick up your mat and walk. Walk where? Walk around in circles and then lay back down on your mat? Are you a dog? Isn't it weird how dogs can't lay down without first, you know? They just can't. I don't know. It's something about them. You're not a dog. When Jesus told him, you take the initiative, get up on your own two feet, pick up your mat. And walk. I believe he was literally saying, and walk yourself out of here. You don't belong here. This is not your place of healing. You never belonged here. And you don't need that mat, but pick it up. Let Holy Spirit say, don't leave any evidence behind you that you were ever even there. Because you didn't belong there in the first place. It was not your place, and God has redeemed you. Don't carry your past skeleton closet and show everybody what you used to be. Show them who you are now. And that's more than enough. Your testimony is not what you used to be. Your testimony is what you are, in spite of what you used to be, yes. But it's your testimony is who you are now, who He is in you. Amen. So you want to get well? Get up. Pick up your mat. Get out of here. Jesus said all that to him. And what day was that all taking place on? Look at verse 9. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Hallelujah for Jesus. One word from God changes everything, don't it? 38 years of laying there being a victim, and one word from God, he just gets up on his feet, rolls up his mat, and walks out there, I believe, skipping and jumping and whistling a happy tune, and somebody didn't like it. The devil didn't like it, and he's got people. On the day in which this took place was Shabbat, the Sabbath. And so the religious Jews, the Jews said to the man who'd been healed, it is Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. You know, they're like, they care more about the I's and the cross on the T's than anything else God said. Jesus described him rightly. He said, you'll swallow a camel, but you strain at a gnat. You'll count out the tithe of your garden seeds, like mustard seeds, lettuce. Anybody ever planted lettuce? You don't plant lettuce in Oklahoma on a windy day, I can promise you that. I tried to plant lettuce seed one time. I breathed on it and lost it. I mean, it's tiny, but those religious Jews of Jesus' day, they would get their spectacles, their magnifying glass, and their tweezers, and they would count every little seed of herb in the garden and make sure that they gave the first of every 10 to God to tithe. But then somebody needed mercy. Somebody needed justice. It's the law, the law. They used the law to kill people. They used the law to deny people entrance into the kingdom of God. They made heavy burdens that even they themselves wouldn't even lift a finger to try to lift. That's what Jesus said about them. He said, woe, you blind guides, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. That's what he called them, because they were so nitpicky about the things that they perceived to be the rules that they forgot what God intended it for. Jesus said that the Sabbath was created for mankind, as a gift from God. The word Sabbath means rest. It doesn't mean religion. Jesus is our Sabbath. I worship God every day. See, when's Sabbath for you? Every day, all day. I don't physically rest every day, all day. If I did, that wouldn't be very good. But I spiritually rest all day, every day, resting in Jesus.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And we'd like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Well, they were upset about the Sabbath because he's healing on the Sabbath. That wasn't the only time he healed on the Sabbath. He kind of laid into them. I tell you some places Jesus healed. He healed in the synagogue, he healed a man with a shriveled hand. It's found in Mark 3 and Luke 6. In the synagogue again, he healed a woman who'd been bent over, like stooped over and couldn't stand up. The Bible says clearly that it was a spirit, an evil spirit that did that to her. Jesus healed her. they got mad. The man with the shriveled hand, they got mad. The lame man walks, takes up his mat, they got mad. They're all upset, and they were confrontive to Jesus. And I want to pick it up here in John chapter 7. Let's look at verse 14, John 7, 14. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and began to teach. Now, this is only two chapters after he healed that guy at the pool. And the way I read it, I don't see that this is a whole separate time. It's like he's still hanging around Jerusalem until this happens. And so he comes to the feast and he goes into the temple courts where everyone was allowed to go. And the Jews were amazed and they asked, how did this man, talking about Jesus, get such learning without having studied? See, to them, if you didn't go to their particular school of theology, you didn't go to school. But Jesus studied because he studied with the Father. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. Verse 16. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth, and there's nothing false in him. Has not Moses given you the law, verse 19, and yet not one of you keeps the law? Woo, he threw some cold water up in their face, didn't he? And then he said this, why are you trying to kill me? What? What'd they respond? Look at the next verse. They responded, you're demon-possessed. That's what they thought about what he had to say. He said, Moses gave you the law, but you don't keep it. And why are you trying to kill me? And they go, oh my gosh, you're demon-possessed. The crowd answered. Who answered? The crowd answered. Who's trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle. I believe he's talking about the one with the man at the pool. I did one miracle, and you're all astonished. And yet, because Moses gave you circumcision, although it's actually not from Moses, but the patriarchs, Abraham, he said, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Now, verse 23, now if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath so the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? And then he said this, verse 24, and I really want to emphasize this, and then I'm not going to keep you much longer at all. He says, stop judging by mere appearances and make right judgment. Let me say it to you this way. Stop going with what's popular, what's fed to you, and listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you're judging by appearances. It looks like I'm breaking the Sabbath because I'm healing the whole man. And to you, in your mind, that's a doctor's work, and doctors shouldn't heal on the Sabbath rest day. But at the same time, you perform work on the rest day, and you don't see any problem with that. And he goes, you need to stop judging by what it looks like and go by what it is. I have a note, sticky note, one of many, on my wall at home in my office where the Lord has spoken things to me, and I don't want to forget them. And one of them that sits about right there when I'm sitting down says this. It says, never, ever choose tradition over truth. That's exactly what the Pharisees always did. They always chose tradition over truth. Man, they got all upset. He's healing on the Sabbath. So he continues and he says, stop judging by mere appearances. Verse 25, at that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they were trying to kill? Well, hello. Here he is speaking publicly and they're not saying a word to him. So listen, here's the deal with that. This part of the crowd, they're like, who's trying to kill you? You demon-possessed. This part of the crowd over here is going, isn't that the man they're trying to kill? You see that? See how fickle that is? Here he is speaking publicly. They're not saying a word. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? They're using their own reasoning. They're going, well, if they're not confronting him, and he's saying these things, and he's healing, he must be the Christ. They're using their own thinking. But then watch what happened to him. Verse 27, but we know where this man's from. Here's what they believe. When Christ comes, no one will know where he's from. Can you find me scripture to back that up? The answer is no, you cannot. Because that's not based on scripture. It's based on popular opinion. The popular opinion of Jesus' day was that when Messiah comes, nobody's going to know where he's come from. That's what the illiterate, uneducated ones believed. How do you know? Bubba told me. Like, yeah, that's probably about right. The Bible doesn't say no one's going to know where the Messiah is from. The Bible doesn't say that. I'll prove it to you. We'll keep reading. So this part of the crowd, You're demon-possessed. Who's trying to kill you? This part of the crowd. That's the guy they're trying to kill. Maybe he really is the Christ. And somebody else goes, yeah, but we know where he's from. He came from Galilee. And when the Messiah shows up, nobody's going to know where he comes from. And they go, oh, yeah, I forgot. They're wishy-washy, fickle-faddle, up, down, in, out. They don't know what they are. They're so confused, they don't even know what they are. That's how you get when you disregard God's word. You get confused. So they're like, well, we know where he's from, but when Christ comes, no one will know. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I'm from. I'm not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. And at this, boy, that really ticked them off. That's like throwing gas on their fire. At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid hand on him. Why not? Because his time had not yet come. Next verse, still many in the crowd put their faith in him. Many did. But it doesn't say all. Let me lay something on you going forward. You've got to be willing to go forward even if nobody else goes with you. If you've been waiting on someone else, quit. Get up. Take up your mat and walk. Don't wait on anybody to serve the Lord. You serve the Lord. Amen. Many put their faith in him and they said, well, when Christ comes, would he do more miracles and signs than this man? So you got part of the crowd for him, part of the crowd against him, and the rest of the crowd just confused. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. I'm going to skip down. Go to verse 37. On the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, in other words, he wanted to make sure everybody heard it, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him would later receive. Up to that time, the Holy Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Glorified means crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. On hearing his words, verse 40, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet, the prophet. So that part of the crowd saying that. Others said, he is Christ. He is the Messiah. Still others ask, so you got all these opinions flying around. Still others ask, how can Christ come from Galilee? Now watch what they say here. Verse 42. Does not Scripture say that Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem? They're right. How many know they're right? They know what the Bible says. They know the Bible says that the Messiah will be a branch of David from Bethlehem, the house of David, the house of bread, by the way. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. They knew that. They knew what the Word said. But watch this. They knew what the Word said, but they still thought he was from Galilee. So here's my point. There are people in the crowd that don't know nothing more than public popular opinion. They don't know. They don't have a clue what the Bible says. They just believe the latest hearsay. And then there are people who know what the Word says, but they don't know him who is the Word. So even though they know the Word, they can't see him right in front of their own face because they didn't really realize where he's from. In other words, here's a really good way to look at it. They thought they knew him, this man, Jesus. They thought they knew him. It's not that you think you know the Word of God. I think I know Jesus. You need to know the Word of God, and you need to know Jesus. So what's the point in all my message and all my madness? Well, here it is. You can't listen to what the crowd believes. You can't go with what's popular or unpopular. You can't trust what you think you know about the Word of God. You need to go know what you know about the Word of God. And you don't need to know about Jesus. You need to know Jesus. And I don't mean you need to used to know Jesus. When I say I know my wife, I promise you this, it means I know her, I'm still knowing her, I'm going to know her. It's relationship. And it's ongoing. I'm going to say this in a nice way, but you'll get it. The intimacy of our honeymoon would not have sustained us. We are working on our 42nd year of marriage. Listen, we have a beautiful marriage, but it ain't because we were intimate in 1982. I'm not talking about physical intimacy, really. I am, but I'm really not. I'm talking about the heart connection. It stays there. It's nurtured, and it stays there. That intimacy, that connection is what Jesus is talking about. Because you don't just need to know popular opinion. You don't just need to think you believe this and think you believe that. What you need, he said, is you need to have your thirst quenched by the Holy Spirit. And when you have your thirst quenched by the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit in you is going to be welling up into you, a river of life. When you find the truth, you stop looking for it. You ever hear somebody talking about they lost their keys or their shoe or whatever, and they go, it's in the last place I've looked, too. Well, I would hope so. When you find what you're looking for, you don't keep looking. You know, ever since I've been filled with the Holy Spirit and I found out that I can read God's word and the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth, I have not felt any need whatsoever to look anywhere else to try to find something because I'm dissatisfied with what this provides. Now, I didn't say don't read books. I didn't say don't study history. But I'm only using those things to complement, like putting lemon in my water. If you don't agree with this word, I got no use for it. So first and foremost, this is something God wants you to know. John said in his epistle, he said, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you're listening to me today and you say, well, I don't know for sure, that's not a good place to be. I remember being there. It's like I know enough about God to know I want God, but I'm not sure that I've been good enough to have God. That's kind of where I was at. And the answer is you have not been good enough, period. If you're relying on your goodness, it's hopeless, and you'll never receive eternal life, never. It is literally impossible. But the moment you quit focusing on you and say, I'll receive the gift of Jesus' righteousness as my own, Lord, I give myself to you. I surrender to you completely. The moment you do that and mean it with your heart, the battle's over. And God says, welcome home, my beloved child. I forgive you of all your sins. And now, let's begin a beautiful life together. You know, people get married, they have a ceremony. I love it that people invite God to their ceremony. But that alone ain't going to cut the mustard, is it? We have to invite God to the relationship. That's what makes it all work. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. So if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that could be a big reason why you had such a struggle. You say, what do I do about that? You invite him. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And you know what I learned in my own personal life? It's not what you do in public that defines who you are. It's what you do when no one else is around. So here's what I want to invite you to do. Go where no one else is. Get alone with the Holy Spirit of God, with Jesus. And even if you don't know, I don't even know really how to ask. Just ask. He knows what's on your heart. And ask him. I want everything you have for me, Lord. And in my case, I had to ask him this. I said, Lord, if there's anything hindering me from receiving, show me what it is. He did. I responded. He cleansed. He forgave. And then he filled me with the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. My life's never been the same. And his life in me has continued to well up into life. And I've never, ever again found myself thirsting. So you go ask. Father, I speak blessing over your people. And for those who are listening today by whatever means, Father, I pray that the sound of my voice is proof that they hear from you, for you, Lord, sent me to speak these words. And I pray today would be a day of transformation and change, and that your people be saved, filled with your Spirit, appointed and anointed by your Holy Spirit. And as we begin a new year, Lord God, may you reign supreme in us and through us, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.